It's a Monday here on Kaint Radio. We always say the best things about Monday. So we get to talk to the voice of Golden Gopher Sports and, of course, Sports Director, Minnesota News Network, Mike Grambin. Mike, a good afternoon. How are you doing on this? Again, it's always a good Monday when we got you on, my friend.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing well. We're in the 60s temperature-wise. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's better than 30s. So I'm doing fine on this Monday.
Let's jump right into it. The game you heard Saturday night right here on Kaint Radio, the Gophers in Happy Valley taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. They get beat 45-17, the final. And, Mike, before we kind of break down the game, talk about the visual perspective of the whiteout. I think it's really cool when any sporting team does something where, like the Gophers did a few weeks ago, having the stripes, maroon/gold, stripes in the stadium. I enjoy that. How did it feel? What was the atmosphere like during the whiteout with, 100,000-plus people maybe there in Penn State?
Yeah, I think it was like 109, maybe 106,000, something like that. It was imposing. There's no doubt about it. And it had an impact, too, when you think about the false start penalties. And I think there were some other factors with that false starting that also played a role, which is neither here nor there. But the atmosphere was great. I mean, we're talking about, one of the blue bloods in college football. We flew in there on Friday, and taking the bus to the hotel, you drive by the stadium. And it reminded me a little bit of like a NASCAR race. And first of all, the stadium itself reminds me of a NASCAR track in the sense that it's not like a traditional college stadium where, most of those college stadiums, including Huntington Bank and Kinnick Stadium and, Memorial Stadium in Illinois and some of these others, they got this great brick, facade or some of them are so old it's real brick, right? And it just, there's this great looking majesty. The Penn State Stadium's not really that way. All the girders and the beams, and it looks like an erector set. They're all showing. There is no brick. It's just, it's basically, you see the guts of the stadium. But once you get inside, it is imposing. Everything is tall. It's enclosed, which wasn't always the case, and you're talking 100,000+. But it reminded me not only of the stadium looking like a NASCAR track, but there were RVs everywhere with their flags, their Penn State flags, and their the U.S. flag and everything else, and acres of RVs there. And they were telling us that sometimes, some of those RVs get in there 2 or 3 days early, and they're just, literally camping there. And then obviously all the tailgate lots get filled on Saturday, and obviously they're passionate about their football team. And then you have the whiteout. And then specific to the whiteout, the fireworks show, there were fireworks after every touchdown, fireworks in the pregame, fireworks in the postgame. It was a pretty incredible atmosphere. It was, I'll be frank about it, it was hard for me to really gauge it because the radio booth there is not the best. It's hard to see out the window, believe it or not. You would think they would try to make it, a little easier to see. The top of the booth, you could not see up and out, so I never saw any of the fireworks or anything. You would have had to bend your head down to about your knees to look up and see that. But Justin Gard, our sideline guy, had commented several times about just how loud it was in there. So pretty cool spot to be, and certainly they love their football there, there's no doubt.
Mike Grimm, Monday here on Kaint Radio, and let's talk about the game. And, a touchdown right before halftime, Mo Ibrahim with a 3-yard score, only down 17-10 at halftime. I had to turn away from the radio for about 15 minutes, and when I came back in the second half or after halftime was over, things went south really quick in that third quarter. Mike, refresh my memory. What happened after the Gophers were only down by 7 at halftime?
Well, then you were the problem. That was your fault.
I'm blaming you. Yeah.
And I was wondering why things went haywire. It was because Aaron Worm stopped listening to the broadcast. That was it. No, you're right. It was an impressive 90-yard drive right before halftime, plus the Gophers got the ball. So all of a sudden it's 17-10. And, the optimist in all of us thinking, look, even if you go down and get a field goal and make it 17-13 or something like that, you would feel like you're in good shape. And they did get a first down. And then they got behind the sticks again and had to punt. And then Penn State scored 3 touchdowns. And I'd say this about the game. Ethan Kelly-McManus, I thought, acquitted himself well. The stats, I don't think, tell the whole story. I think he had 4 or 5 passes dropped. He made plays with his legs. And I think as he gets more comfortable, if he continues to play or if he gets another chance, not only did he make plays with his legs, but I think he probably could have gotten more out of those plays. I think he's feeling that part of it out. Like, I think on one of those plays, he kind of dove and slid and really didn't need to. I think if he just keeps running, he's got another 10 or 12 yards. And at some point, again, if he keeps playing, he's going to pop a long run, because teams are still going to be trying to stop Muhammad Ibrahim. And there's going to be one of those plays where he's going to fake it and run around the end. And before anyone knows what happened, he's going to be off to the races. So that's a new part of the game that with Tanner Morgan, maybe the Gopher offense doesn't have, because Tanner's just not that kind of an athlete to get out and go. He's got other skills that have obviously made him the winningest quarterback in program history. But from that standpoint, Ethan probably has an upper hand in the mobility and the running ability. So I thought, despite the stats, he acquitted himself well. To me, the alarming thing was, and we have, honestly, I'm trying to recall if we've seen that this on a more consistent level than what we saw on Saturday night, and that was just the defense being out of position. Or letting guys run free or allowing big plays. And, obviously you're playing against a really good team that's full of 4- and 5-star athletes. And maybe the last time we saw something similar was the Ohio State game last year in that second half, not so much the first half, where it was big play after big play. But even then, I thought players were positioned. They just got out, they were out-athleted, so to speak. In this case, I thought physically the Gophers were hanging, but I thought they just allowed some weird stuff to happen that we haven't seen. Guys allowing receivers to go uncovered, tight ends running down the middle of the field with nobody on them, false start penalties, offside penalties that are controllable. So that to me was a little bit alarming, and obviously that's something that you're going to have to work on and shore up in a hurry. Otherwise, you're in danger of seeing this thing spiral a little bit more. The schedule sits now where, you should be able to stop this spiral and start, turning this thing back into a positive manner and still salvaging what could be a really special season, believe it or not,
Yeah, talking about the defense giving up a 21 to a Penn State in the third quarter, 45-17, Penn State with the victory. Gophers dropped to a 4-3, three losses in a row. And I heard the one soundbite from a P.J. Fleck. And you mentioned the defense, Mike, and I'm sure this will be talked about tomorrow at the Tipsy Steer. PJ, not very happy with the defense.
Yeah, just in terms of the, not being in the right spots. And like I said, it was just one of those, I've not seen it that way before. I say it's alarming only in the sense that we haven't seen it. So maybe surprising is the better word. It'd probably be alarming if we had seen that in multiple weeks. Because even last week or 2 weeks ago now, the Illinois game where, where they stayed on the field for 80 plays, I don't think that was a situation of, hey, they're out of position or they're making mistakes. That was a situation where Illinois just lined up and was the better team, and physically beat them. Where I thought the other night, Penn State is probably, I don't think anyone's going to make a big argument that Penn State doesn't have the more talented roster. It does. But when that is the case and you're out of position and you have communication issues and all that stuff, that becomes an even bigger issue. So, yeah, I think PJ was not happy with how the defense did that. They had, six or seven, really explosive plays, and their shortest touchdown, I think, was 16 yards, and we haven't seen that in a while.
Well, you mentioned the schedule again becomes a little more favorable for the Gophers. Starting this week, Rutgers comes to Huntington Bank Stadium. I believe they have the same record as us at 4-3. What's your early scouting report on Rutgers? Again, good time on Saturday for those that want to get up and watch Gopher football. It's not a early game. It's not a late game. A 1:30 kickoff, which I like that time. Talk about Rutgers.
Yeah, we have not had a 1:30 kickoff in my time here that I can remember. It's always, usually those time slots are 11, 2:30, or, some primetime game. So that's unique. I think that the TV, we're in a part of a schedule where there's three or four or five Big Ten teams that are going through their bye weeks here in this three-week stretch. And so there's just fewer games. And so I think they decided they'd slot it between the 11 and the 2:30. And it's the only game on BTN all day. So our guy Corey Provis, by the way, will have the Big Ten Network call. So You've got radio with me and TV with Provis, so two guys that live in the Twin Cities will have the angle on that one. It was kind of fun, and Corey and I were exchanging some text messages this morning about it, so that's kind of a fun little sidebar. But anyway, the as far as Rutgers goes, their quarterback play has been abysmal most of the year. It got a little better last week. They fell behind 14-0 in the first quarter to Indiana, then scored 24 straight, and they ended up winning 24-17, which put the Indiana coach maybe on the hot seat a little bit, but certainly I would think made Rutgers feel good about themselves. And that quarterback, as I mentioned, they've had pretty poor play all year there. And to get that the game before they're coming to Minnesota, it's got to get them a little bit of a jolt. And I'm sure both teams are heading into this one thinking, this is, you know, what they need. Rutgers has actually been a better team away from home than at home. And I'm sure they're looking at Minnesota, a team that's lost three straight, thinking, look, this is a chance to go, you know, beat a wounded duck here, so to speak, a wounded animal. And Minnesota's looking at it saying, you know, Rutgers has been very limited since it joined the Big Ten. Here's a get-well game for us. So it could be, I think, a pretty good game. I think Minnesota's right now a double-digit favorite in the contest, but the point spreads have not been real accurate here in recent weeks anyway.
Corey Provis, the voice of the Twins, we get him 162 games a year. Listen to Mike on Saturday with Daryl Thompson right here on Kate Radio. You can always put the TV on mute, of course, where you're home. For Gopher Athletics, the voice of Gopher Sports, Mike Grimm. And, Mike, I need to switch the topics to the basketball team because we have not had a chance to talk about, and I believe this announcement became official last week, four-star recruit Dennis Evans, 7'1", coming to the University of Minnesota, one of the biggest, I guess, commitments when it comes to where he was ranked by different websites. I mean, this was a big get for Ben Johnson, and it shows that Ben Johnson has his program going in the right direction. When you can score a guy of this caliber, because, again, the University of Minnesota does not get a whole lot of four-star basketball players coming here to play.
Yeah, huge. No question about it, literally, because he's 7'1". He's the best shot blocker in the country in terms of a high school player. According to the consensus amongst the Internet era, which I think is around 2000 recruiting-wise now. I know the Internet got here before 2000, but from about 2000 or 2002 on, the Internet era is considered in the recruiting world. He's the third highest recruit that the Gophers have had behind Chris Humphreys, who was the top recruit that Minnesota's ever recruited, and then Royce White, who, if people forget, before he had that great career at Iowa State and led them to the Sweet 16 or whatever it was, he was a Tubby Smith commit and signed and was enrolled at Minnesota, then got in trouble and never played a single minute for the Gophers. But Royce White was the second highest recruit, and this young man is now the third highest recruit of the Internet era. So the Gophers had a little bit of an in, and the current freshman Jalen Hensley is a good friend of his. They're from the same area out in California, and Hensley said, "Hey, I like the coaching staff. That's why I chose there. I'm on campus. I like it." They got the kid to visit, and he had it narrowed down to Minnesota and TCU, which is an interesting twosome for a kid that's ranked that high. Kansas had some interest, and then I think they ended up getting a different center. And here we go. The Gophers have a commitment from him. So, obviously, he won't be here until next year. And in the meantime, I guess I should say, the Gophers are going to try to win as many games as they can to keep him excited and to get the fans excited and to maybe bring in some more kids along that caliber.
Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And, Mike, let's talk about the World Series is set. There was really no dramatics, I guess, in the League Championship Series. Houston sweeps the Yankees 4-0. The Phillies beat San Diego 4-1. And because of TV and, I guess, network scheduling, we now have to wait till, I think, Friday before they have game one of the World Series. But here we are. Houston, obviously, one of the favorites. Philadelphia, one of the last teams to get in the postseason. So you have the underdog, even though Philly's got plenty of talent, they have pretty good payroll. I don't call them an underdog against a Houston team that seems to get to the World Series every single year. And I believe Dusty Baker, as a manager, has not won a World Series title yet. Does that sound correct? And he's on the verge of winning one.
Yeah, is that right? I thought he won one with the Giants, but they lost that one, didn't they, to the Angels, now that I think about it. So, yeah, he's managed a long time for not having won one. I know he got Was he the manager of the Cubs when they got Steve Bartman? I think he was.
He probably was, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, it would be. And then he, of course, was not the manager when the Astros did win it. They win it 2017, I want to say. So, yeah, very interesting. It's a good, it's a good series. And you're right, Philly has a big payroll. They've got stars in Harper and the catcher, and then their pitching staff on the top end is pretty good. That said, they were an 80-plus win team is all, and then got hot at the right time, which is part of, even I mentioned it last week, why people who want to just, say, well, if you make it, you're not going to win anyway. Well, you just never know. That's the whole point of wanting to get into the tournament, and hopefully the Twins make the necessary moves that they can make in order to get into the tournament, so to speak, at some point here in the near future. Is it right? Did I see that the Eagles are playing the Texans as well? So not only is it the World Series, but I want to say maybe this Thursday that those two cities are matching up in the World Series.
Oh,
also,
wow, okay.
Next Thursday, I want to say. I think I saw that tweet as well. So there'll be a big Houston-Philadelphia rivalry next week.
Dusty Baker took the Giants in 2002. Last year, the Astros to the World Series. They, of course, lost to the Braves. And now this year, and he has the most wins among managers who have yet to win a World Series. So if you're looking for a side note, Dusty Baker's been around for a long time. I don't know who to cheer for, to be honest with you, because I don't like Houston. I'm not a big Philadelphia sports fan. I'm going to watch the games. I just think it was weird. I was actually pulling for the Yankees. And I never pull for the Yankees, Mike. That was just weird to me to want them to win. But
yeah, I was too. And I don't, it's weird because I don't know why. I just have taken a liking to Boone, Aaron Boone. I don't know why. I thought he was pretty good on TV. I know a lot of people didn't like him, but I kind of feel bad for him a little bit. And as weird as that sounds, that the Yankees, everyone talks about the Yankees and their dominance and their payroll. They've not won a World Series since 2009. And they want to fire this guy, and I don't know. I don't watch it close enough to know how he's managing or anything, but it would have been fine to me if they'd have won as well.
Now, Mike, one more note. Football yesterday, I just bring this up because we have no Vikings football to talk about, but I did watch a good portion of the Green Bay game against Washington, and right now that team is definitely in turmoil. They go on the road. They get beat by Heinicke, used to be a longtime backup for the Minnesota Vikings. I like him. I think he's a good quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if it's the lack of receivers. He is nowhere near where he used to be as a quarterback. And there is panic to the east of us. And as Viking fans, we rejoice when that's going on to our neighbors. But, man, after watching yesterday's game, the Vikings now the pressure's really on because we have like a 2.5-game lead. Packers go to Buffalo next week. We're at home against Arizona. Now the pressure's on Minnesota to, I don't want to say run away and hide with the division, but now you are the favorites by a lot to win the NFC North, and now you just have to go out and take it.
Yeah, no question. And it's a shame that the Green Bay is going through some problems, right? I mean, we got to feel bad for those guys, I kind of got a kick out of watching it a little bit yesterday. The Aaron Rodgers, I saw something someplace that, I remember you and I talking about this in that opener when they played the Vikings, that I thought Rodgers missed some open receivers in the sense that he never even threw the ball. He normally he's quick with the trigger, and I'm like, God, he was, from my angle, he was letting open receivers, and then he was tucking or taking a sack or scrambling. I'm like, why didn't he throw it to that guy? He was wide open. And obviously they've got some issues there with that. And then I saw some, I don't know if it was Pro Football Focus or one of those groups that follows and studies film and stuff, that they say he is really struggling, that Rodgers is really struggling, that he's been in the history of the league one of the best against the blitz, and this year not so much. He is holding the ball longer than most quarterbacks, and that's never been a problem for him. He's always gotten rid of the ball quickly enough, and so there's something going on there. He's not comfortable with his receivers, and maybe his skills are starting to decline. He's certainly not a spring chicken, but they're sitting at 3-4 now, so they're in serious trouble, right? I mean, the Vikings sitting at 5-1. Now, they have, you know, nothing's easy in the NFL. I was going to say they have a tough portion of the schedule, but nothing's easy, period. And especially with the Vikings, it seems they always want to make a game of it. And so, you know, you can't count anything six games into the year, I guess seven now because the Vikings had a bye week, but we're going into week eight. And, you know, you got to like their chances because I don't know if Green Bay can come out of this thing. You know, and obviously Detroit's out of it. Chicago's no threat. So Vikings got to feel pretty good right now.
It's just a weird spot to be. I don't think Viking fans are comfortable being where we are because it's just weird. I mean, we're going to take it. It's just that the Packers, maybe finally after years and years of having a dominant quarterback, are maybe finally headed the other direction. And that's okay.
Well, and it can change quickly. I mean, we're about a month removed from most people saying the Gophers might not lose a game until play Wisconsin.
I know.
You know? So it changes in a hurry, and that's not a knock on the Gophers. Like that's one thing I'll say, not to bring it back to the Gophers, but like every game has a winner and a loser, and sometimes a good team's going to lose, and sometimes a winning team's going to lose, and through different circumstances and different things, and poor play sometimes, and non-execution sometimes. What I still think is a pretty good team in the Gophers has lost three in a row, so they got to get it going. And even if we think the Vikings are a good team, and I think they're pretty good, in the NFL, man, it can go – you can lose three games before you know it, you know. So, but you're right. It's almost like this you know, you're in this murky position of, geez, can it keep going this well? Because in Minnesota, we're kind of – in sports especially, we're kind of tuned into waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Correct,
and so,
yep.
It being in this spot almost makes you feel uncomfortable because you're used to chaos and scrambling and can you make it in and you know, weird stuff happening. And here the Vikings have won three games and come from behind fashion in the last 4 weeks. They're out front by, I don't even know what it is. If you're 5-1 and the other team's 3-4, what are you up 2.5 games there, something like that?
If my math is correct, 2.5.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going good. Hopefully, we're knocking on wood here, you know, that it keeps going.
We'll hear from Mike coming up tomorrow on the PJ Fleck Coaches Show. A lot of reaction from PJ on the Penn State loss. And, of course, Mike and Daryl Thompson on the call from a Huntington Bank Stadium coming up on Saturday. 11:30, your pregame. Live your kickoff at 1:30 as Rutgers comes to town to take on our Gophers. Mike, like always, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. We'll hear from you tomorrow and Saturday, and we'll talk next week.
Awesome. Sounds good. Always enjoy it. Thank you, Aaron.